Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have got a lot of guests today. And on the first half of the show, I'm really, really honored to be able to share about a project that I heard about this spring. It's called Clara's Calling. And when we were at the trade show, I was there and chatting with a bunch of the people from Checker Distributor. And they told me, you know, did you hear about the new charity group that, you know, that we're the support group that we're putting together called, or helping to support, called Clara's Calling. And I'm like, no. So I went over and I had a chance to meet Master Sergeant Clara Vargas, and she was there with Lisa Steele, who was also is an owner of Bella Fabrics in Virginia. I met Rob Krieger, who is the president and CEO of Checker Distributors, and we all had this great big chat. And so I learned about the program and thought it would be fabulous to have them all on. Plus, we have Janice Plumeritas, who is the office manager at Checker. And they're all here today. They're in their separate offices, all ready to talk to me, because I want them to tell you about this amazing story and this amazing project and how it came about, because that's even more incredible, I think, is the story about how it happened. So welcome, everybody. You all here?
Yes. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Rob.
Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hello, Clara.
How are you?
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to have you here. I think we're going to start with Clara, because I believe the story starts with Clara, because you were stationed with the Virginia National Guard, or still are in the Virginia National Guard, and you went over to Afghanistan to work. And you're a quilter. And while you were there, Clara, what happened? What were you doing there that brought your quilting with you, sort of?
Well, let me first say thank you so much for having us here today. It is truly an honor to answer all your questions. And correction, no, I'm not a quilter.
Oh.
She's working on it.
I'm working on it. And let me tell you, I put the first
square
together, and it is so exciting. But like you said, I'm in the Army National Guard in March 2010. Mm-hmm. My unit got noticed that we needed to move out to the Shindan district in Afghanistan. When we arrived there, we met with the Italian who was doing a humanitarian mission up in Afghanistan.
Right.
And being the senior non-commissioned officers for the females, mm-hmm. I was given the opportunity to go outside the wire and meet with the Italian to continue the mission for the women of Afghanistan.
So you were actually meeting with Afghan women and seeing how they lived, and you spotted some opportunities.
Yes, I did. We sit down with them, and they were able to tell us things that they needed to survive on a day-to-day basis. And simple as, shoes, making clothes for their children, and not having the items that they needed to make clothes for their children, or even blankets for their children. Mm. During the mission, we worked together with the Afghan women to identify what kind of help the United States could provide.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually came up with the idea that they needed sewing machines and fabrics and notions and everything that has to do with sewing.
Oh, wow. So that you could, you know, they wanted to be able to give themselves a new set of skills.
Yes, yes. And it was skills that, you know, it would take them to the next generation, mm-hmm. you know, so that they could learn a trade that they could teach their support themselves, mm-hmm. And be able to directly influence their children for a better life.
Wow.
Yeah. And so... We, I remember after the meeting, I said, oh, my gosh, you know, as a soldier, you know, mm-hmm. how am I going to be able to do this, you know, mm-hmm. because we didn't have the finances, you know,
right.
to continue doing this mission. And I remember going to church on Sunday in Afghanistan in mm-hmm. theater and mm-hmm. just praying to the Lord, you know, just saying, God, please help me to do this. And mm-hmm. So every Sunday, our pastor gave us the opportunity to share anything while we were outside the wire. Mm-hmm. And I brought up the need of the Afghan women. And I remember asking the soldiers to help me. And mm-hmm. they were so willingly to help, you know, to start this project.
And so, didn't you and the soldiers that were stationed there, did you buy or help finance like the first sewing machine or find one to be donated?
Yes we did. Mm-hmm. I have gone, believe it or not, let me just tell you this real quick. Before I deployed, I went to Walmart, and for mm-hmm. some reason I needed this DVD player. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I needed it, but I needed it really bad. Mm-hmm. So when I got to Afghanistan, we used that DVD player to raffle it off, and
right.
all the soldiers bought 20, 30, 40 tickets
oh.
to raise the money, and we raised $3,200 to buy our first 14 sewing machines.
That is incredible. Now,
and from
let's
there,
fast forward
you know,
just a tiny bit where you came back to Virginia.
Yes. Then in November, I had the opportunity to come home, and all I could think about was, what else can I do to take home to these mm-hmm. women and children that need just the basic essential of, you know, to survive?
Right.
And I thought, okay, well, I'll go and shop for material so that I could bring with me.
Ah.
And donated it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only the soldiers out there were helping with money-wise, but also mm-hmm. myself when I got back to Virginia, I could only think about, you know, I wasn't thinking about, you know, I have 2 weeks to be with my children. All I was thinking about was, you know, the children in Afghanistan and what they were going through. So that's when I met Lisa. I went to her shop. And I started shopping for mm-hmm. anything I could find 50, 30, 60% off in her shop.
Right.
And that's how our relationship started.
So, Lisa, what made you decide to ask Clara what the heck she was doing in your store?
Well, Clara wanders into the store probably, you know, 10 minutes before closing on Black Friday. Well, needless to say, I look like I've been through the ringer. But she was looking around for some fabrics, and after, you know, taking the time to talk to her, I realized that this is a soldier home on leave,
mm-hmm.
and she is taking what little money she gets paid mm-hmm. to buy some of my, you know, back wall, you know, bottom shelf, discounted, you know, discontinued fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And when she started telling me, after I pulled it out of her, a little bit of what she was doing, I was floored that they were taking the precious little time that they had for leave
mm-hmm.
because they felt so strongly about this mission, and
right.
then taking what little funds that they had to buy things so they could make this
they
mission
could help
come
others.
About. And I... You know, I just could not let her continue buying all of these things. And I was just saying, you know what?
Yeah.
With my customers, they have got more than they will ever use in their lifetime. Let mm-hmm. me just put a call out to my customers, and I'll get you everything that you need.
Right.
So when I left that night, I went home, and I was telling my husband, I was telling my kids about this,
mm-hmm.
and we all were of the same conclusion going, we could get her so much stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, realistically, yeah. there
right.
was so much stuff that we could get her that she couldn't get home. So we exchanged addresses and APOs mm-hmm. and emails. And then I couldn't sleep that night because all of this was going around in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was about 3 o'clock in the morning I got up and I composed a letter to my customers
mm-hmm.
and just told them all about the meeting with Clara.
Right.
And then I said, you know, this is really good, and I can get a lot from my customers, but if we really want to make a difference instead mm-hmm. of just kind of contributing, mm-hmm. we need to take this to the entire industry. So I started mm-hmm. thinking about who was, you know, the biggest people in the industry. If, you know, I could go shop to shop and mm-hmm. And go over this a million times, right. or I could go to the big guns. So I composed a letter to Rob, and I composed a letter to Lori at Fab Shop News. Mm-hmm. I figure Rob dealt with everybody in the industry, and Lori, she does a fabulous job with communicating through her Fab Shop network mm-hmm. to some of the really great progressive shops and people that have been in the industry for a while. I said, right. if I could reach those two people and spread this, then they could take it even further. And I can tell you that when I got a response back from Rob, I just sat down and I cried because I could not believe how he picked this up and just ran with it. I mean, and the rest is really, you know, from when we got together with you. I mean, mm-hmm. we talked back and forth on the phone between Clara and Rob and Lori and I, and basically laid the groundwork for what we introduced to the industry at Spring Market.
Now, Rob, we have about 30 seconds. Can you just tell me, just like, when you got that letter, how did it make you feel?
It brought back memories. 40 years ago in Vietnam, I did exactly what Clara was doing. Back then, we called it psychological operations. Now it's called cultural support, so I knew exactly where she was coming from. Mm. And for us to put out the word to all the vendors that we buy from and find excess fabric or notions or threads or whatever it might be was really an easy thing to do, and everybody's been most generous in the industry. So I know exactly the shoes that Clara walks in, and I know how well the people appreciate in Afghanistan appreciate this, so it was an easy thing to do.
Well, this is incredible. I love hearing the story about how it started. You have a fabulous site that's been built with a collaborative effort called clarascalling.com. What we're going to do, we're going to take a little break, and then maybe when we come back, Rob and Janice can tell us a little bit about the effort to collect the goods and send them over, and then what's the ongoing process is. So how's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to take a little break. You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We're here talking about Clara's Calling with the some of the people who are very involved with it. I have Rob Krieger, the president and CEO of Checker, along with his office manager, Janice Polmaritas. Then I have Clara herself and Lisa Steele from the fabric shop where Clara was doing her shopping. So Rob, when you heard about this, and you know the kind of effort it takes to get goods, you know, to another country, particularly one, you know, where a lot's going on, you know, what kind of thoughts went through your head as the effort that you wanted to put together?
I would definitely wanted to be in this to help as much as we could. We're after the hearts and minds of the people here. There's a lot of different ways to convince people to do things, but Clara's goal here is to help 4,000 Afghan widows learn how to sew, be able to provide their families with an income, provide themselves with a skill that they can learn. Again, these people have absolutely nothing. Clara described people sleeping on mud floors and cold in the winter, and so to be able to do this is just a great opportunity for our sewing industry here. So going back to my Vietnam experience, yes, I can see how this helps exactly, and I wanted to jump in and knew that with us communicating it, we check are going to wind up be the place where we would have everything sent. Mm-hmm. We contacted the Lamia Afghan Foundation, retired Lieutenant General, three-star general from the Air Force, John Bradley and his wife Jan, who have founded the Afghan Lamia Foundation, and they do a great job of supplying just not only sewing products, but humanitarian aid to all kinds of people over there.
Now, they're stationed over there still, or they live over there?
No,
they don't.
They live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
They go over there twice a year. In fact, they've heading over there again in first week of October, and they're going to make sure that all this resources and everything that we get to the right people. Again, what happens is there's a program to the U.S. State Department called the Denton, with a D program, and the Denton programs allows space available on the military aircraft that could fly over there, because everything has to be flown in. So if there's space available, we can load up pallets of fabrics and sewing notions and treadle machines and all these other things and get it over there. There's an inspection process that has to be gone through, and all kinds of mounds of paperwork that the Bradleys do a very, very good job on. So without them and the Afghan Lamia Afghan Foundation, couldn't be possible. Again, if you go to the, it's called Lamia-AfghanFoundation.com. It's org.
Okay.
They will also accept financial contributions. They've collected over, through Clara's Calling, over $10,000 now in cash. And what we're doing now is buying treadle machines from the local market in Afghanistan and Pakistan, so these machines can be repaired. But again, if they don't have the machines, the fabric and the notions don't do a whole lot of good. So it's kind of a whole team effort, and everybody's pushing forward, and money or products. And if the stores, Lisa's handling through the stores, but if the stores ship their products to Checker for no charge, we'll pack it up, review it all. We'll ship it down to Wright-Patterson Air Force down south of us in Dayton, and that's where it stacks up there to go over on space available.
Now, people, can they do this individually, like a quilter that's listening to the show here? Should they go through their quilt shop, or should they go to Clara's Calling, and if they want to box up a box of fabric for you?
Lisa, why don't you go ahead and answer that question?
Okay. If somebody wants to donate and they don't have a Clara's Calling shop in their area, what they can do is, if they have a favorite shop, they can tell them about the mission in the Clara's Calling site, and they can join in, and that can be a new drop-off place. But if not, if they're out in an area where they don't have anyone near them, what we prefer that they do is they can forward it and send it to my shop. And what I will do with the shop is I will sort through the merchandise, because we really have to be sure that it's culturally sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
And Janice will go a little bit more into that. But then what we do is we sort everything. So everything in this box is fabric. This box is thread. It just makes the custom process a lot easier. It also makes the palletizing in checker a lot easier. So then what I will do is make sure that my boxes are all set and ready to go. Then I will take them, and with some of the money that we raise at the store, I will use that for our shipping costs to get these boxes over to Checker. And
now,
then
Janice,
Checker
you
will palletize it then, and they'll get it ready for military transport.
Yeah.
But we just can't have all kinds of boxes going to Checker. They don't have the time or the people where we can go through and sort things and do that kind of you know, first run through, and then Checker will put this on a pallet of thread, put this on a pallet of fabric. And Janet has put together a fabulous system, and she can tell a little bit more about what goes on at Checker.
Hi, Janice.
Hello, how are you?
Very good.
Good. Just to give you an idea, we did a test run on this back in early May, and we sent over a little over 5,000 pounds worth of goods over there. And this was distributed amongst five different CSTs over there, the cultural support teams. These are things that we received from a lot of our vendors, including goods that we found internally, fabrics and so forth. We had things coming in from Drift, Colonial Needle, Clover, David Textile, we were swamped with goods. It was overwhelming. It was a fantastic endeavor in trying to, you know, sort through these things, getting them ready to go over there. So that kind of gave us an idea of the things that we are sorting through, whether it be fabrics, threads, needles, everything you can imagine we sent over there. With the second shipment that we're looking at getting out of here before the end of September, we had an amazing response with our recent open house. We had over 50 shops that, before they even came into our warehouse to shop, they went out and they unloaded the back end of their car with everything from, you know, threads, needles, again, I mean, just cuts of fabric that they have had in their stash for, you know, for some time.
Right.
That they no longer needed, but realized that other people could use that. Just to give you an idea as well, when Clara and Lisa showed up, they came with I believe it was a 17-foot U-Haul, packed to the gills when it came to, again, boxes of fabric, everything, you know, I think there were some school supplies. We had quite a few treadle machines here. I mean, it was amazing. That on top, the response that we're getting from those shops, in addition to some of the, you know, again, some of the industry's heavy hitters, is amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You know, we're getting United Notions, Moda, Springs Creative, Guterman, you know, just to name some of them there. J-Trim sent us quite a few trims, as you can, you know, just amazing. I'm speechless sometimes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the type of products that maybe are not appropriate to send over, just so that if people start going through their stuff, they won't even, you know, bother to bring those into the stores?
Yeah, because of where it's going, we have to be very, very careful that we don't send things over there that would offend them in any way. You know, any type of religious items, no Christmas, no Hanukkah, no Halloween goods. We also got to be careful when it comes to, like, farmyard scenes. The pigs, you don't want to offend them by sending them anything with pigs. We're very careful on what we send over there, chickens, things like that. And we are going through, if we see books that come in, or if we see fabrics that have a little chicken or whatever the case is, or a little pig, we don't send that over there.
Okay. So people can just sort of stay away from anything that has images of animals or holidays. That's pretty much a good rule then.
Exactly.
Yeah. how often will you be sending... or, you know, pallets over? Do you have a schedule for this? I mean, this is a huge undertaking. You guys are, I just am amazed in what you're doing.
We don't really have a set schedule internally here. I mean, we anticipated to get the shipment out this month here. I would say we're probably looking two or three times a year at the most to get the stuff over there, so we are able to accumulate more and more to send over there. Because it's pointless for us to send a little bit here, a little bit there. We really want to get a lot over there at one time.
Yeah, this is not a one and done program. We got to remember that our sons and daughters, husbands and wives are over there, and and that if the Afghan women who traditionally raise their children, if they see their mom can provide them food and the Americans are the ones that train them how to do this, they think of Americans now as friends. And all we have to convince is, you know, one boy that someday might grow up to be a Taliban or an Al-Qaeda or something like that, for him not to pull that trigger, we've really helped out our troops. We may have saved a life just through your generosity of donating, you know, money or fabric or something like that. So it really goes deep when we're trying to win the hearts and the minds of the people.
Yeah, it's, and you have an amazing site that has a lot of different items on it. There's photos, there's a blog, you have a question, a mission statement. You know, Clara, what are you, will you be going back at all to the area, or are you here now for a while?
I'm here for a while until the Army tells me that I need to go, so we really don't know exactly when we're going back. But I just want to go back to what Rob said that is very important to me and is very dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. Going back to what he said about saving our soldiers' lives, in one of the missions, I believe that our convoy was saved because of our actions. Mm-hmm. When we were delivering goods to these women, they called us to a side and say, hey, don't go the same way you came. I believe that in my heart that day we were saved because of what they thought about us, about the American soldier. Mm-hmm. And so that is very, that I took that to be very, very deep into my heart. And I believe that it is saving our troops' lives. So I cannot tell you how important I believe this mission is.
Well, you all have done just an incredible job getting the word out. Is there one thing people can do to get the word out? I mean, should they put it on their blogs, go into their quilt shops?
I would suggest highly going to Clara's Calling. And for those that have not yet participated, request a media kit. That'll give you everything you need to start the process.
Yeah, and spread the word. Definitely blog about it. This is, you know, we're going to be involved in this war for quite a while, no matter what the politicians say. And this goes on. You can never give enough to people. You can never help out people enough, because it always does come back to you. Generosity is the key thing that the humans can give to each other. And in America, we do have so much. And again, I go back to anything that we have that we can give to them is appreciated. They have nothing. I mean, mud on the floor, mud and rocks is all I got. So anything we give them is excellent.
Folks, I so appreciate you being here. We're done now with this segment, and I just am so grateful for you to take the time to come on and talk with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Come right back after the break. Patterns
today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff, to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. That was such an incredible segment. I really encourage everybody to look at your things and see what you might be able to donate, because there's going to be a need. Go visit clarascalling.com. And now we're gonna switch gears a little bit. We've got Kim Bruner on, who is, you know, a fun and exciting quilting expert. And Kim was on in July. And I'm really excited to have her back, because we're gonna continue this series about talking about machine quilting. So hi, Kim, how you doing? Let's see. Let's click. Hey, Kim, how you doing?
Hey, Pat, can you hear me?
I can.
Yay, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Now, last time when we were on, we went through sort of a series of topics. We talked about batting, we talked about faux trapunto, and a bit about thread. You know, you are just like packed full of information.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I've been doing it for long enough. You would think that by now I should know what I'm doing.
Well, and you do teach a lot, so you're always out there. And don't you find that when you're teaching, you come up with a whole new series of things to sort of focus and learn about based on questions people have?
Yes, you do. And I think that when you teach, you learn so much more about your subject than you ever would have had you not decided to teach about that subject. I learn so much from my students with every single class. And I really do feel like I have learned much more from them than they could ever possibly have learned from me. So it's win-win for both of us.
I do. You know, I hear that from a lot of teachers. They always say, oh, my class teaches me so much, because they'll ask you something and then you have to figure out, you know, you might know it in your head, but you've never had to tell somebody. So,
Yeah, or maybe I don't know it, and then I have to go home and figure out what the answer is to that question. And by doing so, I learn more about my craft. So, you know, like I said, it's win-win for everybody. We all walk away feeling the richer, I think.
Now, we decided that we'd focus on a couple of different things this time, because we're going sort of in-depth here into the topics. And, you know, fabric plays a big part of what your final quilt looks like, more than just the obvious, yes, it's, you know, it's the pretty design. But it, when you put quilting and fabric choices together, there's actually something to think about.
Yes, there is. And I think that the longer you quilt, the more experienced you become, the more you realize that it's more than just, you know, does this color go with that color and does this print look nice next to that print? You have to think about all of the elements that go into making up your quilt. And obviously quilting is one of the biggest of those elements, because it can have such a huge effect on the finished look of your quilt. So you need to think about, what kind of quilting am I going to want to do? Do I want it to show? Do I want, maybe it should not show because I don't feel really confident in my ability to quilt it. Mm-hmm. And those choices or those things are going to dictate what your fabric choices are going to be. And if you're smart, you'll think about those things while you're picking out your fabric, so that you can kind of make your quilt more likely to come together as a beautiful whole, instead of, you know, just kind of working with it when you get to the end and then you go, oh, no, I've got all this white space and I don't know what to do with it.
Let's start out with the people who are just maybe starting to free motion quilt for themselves, or even just do straight quilting. But, you know, they're sort of new at that part of the process, and they want to maybe not have their quilting be as big a focus because they're just learning, they're still practicing. What are some of the fabric choices, like top and backing, for
Let's start with the back. When you are a new quilter, and even when you're not a new quilter, things are going to happen with your tension on the back of your quilt. You're working on the front, so you're watching what's happening, and you're seeing, oh, do I need to adjust my tension a little bit? But a lot of times you forget to either get under your quilting machine if you're a stand-up quilter, or to look under the fabric if you are a domestic machine quilter. And you're going to have little thread nests. You're going to have little eyelashes on the back of your quilt if your tension is not perfect. And if you have a really plain backing, that's going to magnify every single one of those issues. And you don't want that. You don't want to flip your quilt over and go, oh, yeah, I made a mistake here, and oh, there, my tension was awful. So in that case, it's going to help you cover your sins a lot if you choose a really busy backing, something with a lot of color, something with a lot of print something that's just going to camouflage all of those stitches on the back. When you get a little bit better at quilting and you feel like you've kind of got your tension mastered, then you can start moving towards plain backings, and then you end up almost with the look of a whole cloth when you flip your quilt over. And that can be nice. Sometimes the back of the quilt is prettier than the front. Mm-hmm. But when you're first starting, make your life easier and just choose something as busy as can be so that you don't see any of the mistakes that will show up on your back.
Now, I have a question, because sometimes, you know, people, you know, they've done all that, but they didn't catch places with their tension stuff. But can, when you wash the quilt, will it help fix some of that?
It will help fix some of that, but, you know, your washing machine is just a washing machine. It does not have a magic wand. And if you have lousy tension, you know, some of that tension stuff will get sucked up when the quilt gets washed. But some of it really can only be fixed by removing the quilting and redoing it.
Yeah,
and sometimes you do have to do that. You know, sometimes if it's awful, it's better to just rip it out and redo it. Because otherwise, every time you look at that quilt, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I should totally have ripped that out, and I didn't because I was lazy. And, you know, if you're going to have that quilt for years to come, you might as well do it right.
Now, do you find that more people have problems with what they're seeing on the back than on the front?
Well, I think that the back just kind of sometimes comes, especially for newer quilters, as an unpleasant surprise later. Because they weren't paying attention when they were, and then they flip it over and go, oh, yeah. And then it's like, oh, yeah, well, it's off the frame and I don't want to go back in and redo it. And they didn't know to look for that as they were in process. Mm-hmm. As you get more experienced, you know that part of the process is checking your back tension and just making sure that nothing wonky is happening back there that shouldn't be happening.
And most domestic machines anyways, that let's talk domestic first, of that usually people use the same thread weight in the top and the bobbin, but your long armors, you have a bit more control over your machine's tension.
Well, yes and no. We can fiddle with our tension a lot, but you do want to be sensible in your bobbin selection. If you're using a really, really heavy, thick top thread, obviously you don't want to use something fine on the back, because it's just going to be very hard to make those two threads play nicely with each other. And, you know, when the tension in quilting is almost like a game of tug of war between the top thread and the bottom thread. And you want the tug of war, you know, that ball in the middle of the rope that a tug of war game is played with. You want that ball to be in the middle of your three layers of the quilt. And it's easier to keep those thread joints or that ball in the rope in the middle of the layers when it's the same thread top and bottom. It's very difficult to do that when you have a very fine thread that just can't hold its own against that thick top thread.
That makes sense when you say it like that. You know, it's, and I mean, for domestic, it's pretty much a given, you know, that it's, if anything's going wrong, check those weights, be sure that they're the same. Now, let's say someone is, you know, comfortable with their free motion quilting now, and they really want to move it up a little bit to have fabrics that will show off their quilting, but they're not really into, let's say, solids, because solids probably are the ultimate show off fabric. What sort of step thoughts and process do you use? Do you suggest to people for picking their fabrics now that they want to showcase their quilting?
Well, obviously the plainer the fabric, the more the quilting is going to show, and the lighter in color the fabric is, the more the quilting will show. A dark, busy fabric is going to just eat your quilting. Nothing's going to show on that. Whereas a lighter print, even if it's still a print, because it's lighter, it's going to show as the light moves across the quilt and forms shadows. You will more easily see your stitching path. You can always make your quilting show off a little bit more by being smart about thread choices. For example, let's say you are quilting out some feathers in a setting triangle, and you want your feathers to show, but you don't want to use a plain white fabric, and you don't want to do trapunto, but you still want them to show off. Let's say you have a light cream print fabric. You might want to choose a light camel-colored thread to quilt out your feathers, because that darker thread is going to give the illusion of depth and dimension. Mm-hmm. And it's going to look like you have loftier batting, and it's going to look like you have more quilting, and it's going to look like you did trapunto, even though you didn't. And then if you want to come back in and stipple around those feathers with a very closely matching thread, that's going to further accentuate that look of depth and dimension and make your quilting stand out on that light fabric. Also, you can think about using specialty thread. You know, a shiny variegated thread is going to show off a lot no matter what you put it on, as will a metallic. You know, you throw a metallic on something and it doesn't matter what it is, it's going to show up. Just remember.
Those are the flashy threads.
Yeah, those are the bling threads. Just remember, when you start throwing bling at your quilt, every mistake is going to show. So you want to feel confident about your ability to quilt something out before you start showing off with the thread. And if it shows off your good quilting, it's really going to show off your bad quilting.
Yeah. Now, okay, I'll take a little side question here on those specialty threads. How easy are they to use?
They require a little bit of patience and a little bit of fiddling. You can't expect to just, you know, throw it on your machine and have it work great. You want to use a little practice sandwich and see, what do I have to do? Do I need to use a needle with a bigger eye? Do I need to back off on my tension a little bit? Do I need to use a thread net? If you're using like a really specialty or a really shiny, slippery specialty thread that wants to kind of puddle at the bottom of the thread cone. It just kind of, it's so slippery that it falls off the cone and puddles. Mm-hmm. You'll have to get a little thread net to pop over the top of your spool just to hold the thread in place. You might need to use a little bit of thread lubricant, but you know what? You can figure all that stuff out in 10 minutes or less with a practice sandwich. Mm-hmm. Just take the time to fiddle with it, see what works, and then move to the quilt. Make your mistakes before you get on the quilt, because then you don't have to rip them out.
Yeah, I think that the practice sandwiches, not enough people take the time. They they're impatient. I know I'm impatient. Mm-hmm. I just want to get to the quilt. But it's what do people do with those little practice sandwiches?
You know, I just have them laying all over the place. I pre-cut them and I zigzag the edges, because when I want one, I don't want to have to go looking for the ingredients to make one. I just want to have one. I want to have a stack of them so I can just grab one. And then, you know, like I said, it only takes 10 minutes.
Yeah.
While it may seem like a hassle to do it, you will spend more time ripping those mistakes out of your quilt than you will spend on the practice sandwich. Does that make sense the way I said it?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And I hadn't even thought about having a stack of them already made up. I mean, you're brilliant. That's, you know, that way you've eliminated that sort of time factor of saying, oh, I got to go put this thing together. It's already there. You just pick it up and do a little test.
Yeah, just a little stack of 12-inch by 12-inch practice sandwiches. You know, you may not use them for 2 months, and then you may use 10 of them all at once, but they're ready to go.
Let's try all 10 threads here, right in a row.
Yeah.
And they do make nice dust claws. You can, you know, if you have to have a purpose for them after they're done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know what? You can always use them to dust your floors or dust your countertop.
Yes, but there's always really something to dust. Now, Kim, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk quilting designs.
All right.
Okay, so we'll be back. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back. I'm Pat, your host, Pat Sloan. I'm here with Kim Bruner. We're talking machine quilting. So now, when I started quilting, Kim, the ability to find quilting designs was pretty slim. There was some books on hand quilting designs, but machine quilting designs, you know, there really wasn't much out there. Now it's totally different.
It is. I know exactly what you mean because I was the same. When I started, there were a few designs to choose from. You could do feathers or you could do cross-hatching or you could do feathers with cross-hatching, and that was pretty much it. Or you could meander. There was always meandering. Yeah. And right. Now the sky is the limit. You go to quilt shows, and I mean, I look at some of these quilts and I just think, holy smokes, 10 years ago, we never would have thought of doing this, and now it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are raising the bar higher and higher every year in their design work, and it's wonderful to see.
Now, let's first talk to me, because when people start out, they still are like, you know, they have a piece block. I actually find piece quilts more difficult to figure out a design from my personal standpoint than an applique quilt, because applique, you have the focus of the images, and so I always let them sort of talk the program there. But piece quilts, I'm like, okay, you have a block. Well, I'm just here looking through allpeoplequilt.com. You can say quilting design gallery in the search bucket. And I just found one with spider webs. I mean, how cool, this block with spider webs. Mm-hmm. I would have never thought of that. How do people mm-hmm. go about finding these sort of options?
Well, I think that you've got a great idea in going and looking at the online forums, because people love to share pictures of their finished quilts. And if you have a forum that you could go on, you know, even if it's just a Google image search, let's say you've mm-hmm. got a Dresden plate quilt and you want to know how should I quilt this, you can enter just those keywords in the search box mm-hmm. and then start looking at the pictures that pop up. When you're looking for specific designs, I always recommend that people look at Dover books, D as mm-hmm. in dog, O, mm-hmm. B as in Victor, E-R. You can get them at Barnes & Noble, any bookstore that is near mm-hmm. you. They're copyright-free books, and you can just flip through them for all sorts of information and inspiration. You can look at the fabric that you're working with. You know, is there a beautiful True. Flower in that fabric that you could pull yeah. out and create a border design or a block design? Mm-hmm. I find a ton of inspiration in home deck stuff. I was walking through my local Target the other day, and there's so much cool home deck stuff with really interesting, simple line designs nowadays. And you can pull those line designs out and create a border or a block. Mm-hmm. You just have to use your imagination, and I think you need to be willing to sit down and draw a little bit.
Right, you know, right. That's what I was just going to say. Don't be afraid to take what you're seeing and sketch it out so that mm-hmm. you have a plan rather than just sticking the quilt under the needle and saying, okay, now what do I do?
Absolutely. And you can figure out, how are you going to tie this element in with that element? How are you going to move around the corner? How are you going to go from here to there without doing a million stops and starts in every single block? You work that all out with pencil and paper, and then when you go to the machine, there's much less ripping because you've already made mistakes and figured out your shortcuts and your pathways on paper. But I just draw all the time. I always have pen and paper with me and just sit down and start doodling.
Do you then, I know one of the tips that floats around, and I've done this myself and told students, take like press and seal and put it over top of the quilt, and then you can just, you know, draw on top of the press and seal with like a marker. Do you have other things that people can do so you actually have the image of your pattern? Because not everybody has graphics programs that they could do layers.
One thing that I recommend is getting transparency film, and you want the transparency film that you can draw on, because there's a difference. There's some that's made to go through your printer. And what I tell people to do is take blue painter's tape and put that tape around the edges of the transparency film so you don't inadvertently draw off the transparency film onto the fabric.
Excellent.
That way you just plop it down on top of the block and start drawing. Or you plop it down on top of a design that you like, you trace it out, and you lay that on top of your block. How does that look? Is it going to fill the block? Is it going to go over things that maybe you don't want to go over? Did you have maybe a little bit of trouble with your seam allowances and you don't want to stitch right on top of this seam allowance intersection, so maybe you need to alter the design a little bit so that you miss your trouble spots when stitching it out? It makes it a whole lot easier if you just draw that design, pop it down, and see how it's going to work.
Now, will you ever, I mean, maybe you've done this, I would say maybe competition quilters might do this too for entering a show, make like a sample of a piece block and just sort of quilt it and see what it's going to look like in real life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do that, and I know a lot of other competition quilters who do the same thing. Kathy Wiggins is a great example. She does just phenomenal quilts for competition, but she always makes a little wall-hanging size quilt of her idea first to make sure that the fabrics are going to look right. Is the technique going to be what she wants? Is the thread going to be what she wants? To some people, it may seem like a waste of time, but I'm sure to her, it seems like a great time saver, because if she's going to make mistakes, she's going to make little mistakes on a little wall hanging instead of great big mistakes on a big show quilt that is going to cause problems.
She might decide the thread weight's wrong, or, you know, like you said, that line really doesn't look as good as you thought it might after you put it on there.
Yeah, and would you rather make a big mistake or a little mistake? I'd rather make a little mistake and then go on to do a good job on the big piece. So to me, making a practice piece is definitely worth it. Even a practice block or a practice sample is always worth it. If I have any doubt at all about how this is going to turn out, I'm going to experiment first and make sure that it's going to be what I want in the end.
Now, Kim, you actually have some videos on, you know, you have quite a few videos. Do some of yours deal with how to pick designs, or is that more of your workshops?
That's more workshop, I think. It's nice when you're trying to do a design class, it's nice to have the interaction with students. You know, to hold up the quilts and say, you'd put this here because, and you wouldn't put there, or put that there because it wouldn't work for this reason. I just think it's... that sort of information is best shared in a classroom situation where there's a lot of input from everybody.
And that, you know, people can bring their real quilts then, so you can actually see what you're talking about rather than...
A lot of classes like that, you will be invited to bring quilts. And as time allows, people can just bring their quilts up and say, okay, what do I do with this and what do I do with that? So if people are interested in a class like that, there are a number of teachers who do that at various shows. So, you know, it would be a class I'd sure love to take. Can you imagine a whole classroom full of people telling you how to quilt your quilt? Yay! You could just go home and do it.
I know. I have a whole stack I'm going to bring to that class.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking that's the best idea I've ever heard.
Now, if people are not quilting, I'm just sort of taking a small tangent here. If people are asking someone else to quilt the quilt for them, what might be a tip that they would use to communicate what they're looking for? Because, you know, some people just say, oh, do whatever you want. But other times somebody might have a real specific thing that they want. What's a good tip about how to share that with your machine quilter?
Well, first of all, let me say that when I was still quilting for customers, I loved it when my customer had an idea for how to quilt the quilt. Because it's really scary when you're a long armer to have somebody say, do whatever you want, because you just think, wow, you know, what I want might be really different from what you like. And we may be in for an unpleasant surprise when you come to pick up your quilt and you don't like what I did. So I loved it when a customer said, I want cowboy boots here, or I want flowers there, or I want feathers. If you have a picture that shows what you like, maybe you saw a picture in a magazine or on the internet, bring that picture in and show your long armor what you like. Show her what you don't like. Tell her why you like this, how maybe you'd like it adapted to your own quilt. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you your long armor will welcome any suggestions that you have. So feel free to give ideas. It's your quilt. You're just hiring him or her to quilt it for you.
Right.
So it's your quilt, and you should feel more than free to be able to say, here's what I was thinking that I would like to have quilted on it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe now, they can suggest to you different ideas that might work better, or maybe they could suggest different things that you could put to accentuate that idea. But like I said, they'll welcome your input.
Good. That's good to know, because I think some people might be a little shy. They might not, you know, especially if they haven't worked with somebody. But that's exactly when you should say.
Yeah, you should not feel shy at all.
Yeah. Now, markings, you know, I'm not a marker myself because I'm always, you know, a little bit nervous that the marks won't come out and I don't want to test anything because I'm always in a hurry. So I just don't mark. I do a lot of just free form, simple stuff. What kind of tools should people look at for marking designs?
I love to mark with white chalk because if you're going to put a mark on, you better be able to get it off with confidence, and it better be able to come off fairly easily. You know, there's like the blue pens that you can use that are water soluble, but then you have to make sure that you pre-washed your fabric before you put the water on the quilt, because you might get your blue pen off, but you'll just make your red fabric run all over the white fabric. So I like to use white chalk simply because it goes on easy and it comes off with a wipe of a microfiber dusting cloth. I use for inaccurate marking, for example, if I'm just marking out a vine to swirl around a border where I don't need it to go into or out of the corners perfectly. In that case, I will use a stick of chalkboard chalk. The cheaper, the better. You don't want high quality because the high quality chalks have oils to hold the chalk stick together, and those oils can make it harder to get the chalk out of the fabric. You want the El Cheapo chalk that they sell at this time of year at the back-to-school sales. You go in and shove the kids out of the way and grab the box of the chalk and run to the checkout center. You will need a little eyebrow pencil sharpener to be able to sharpen them to a nice sharp point so you can draw accurately. So I use that for inaccurate marking, but when I want to mark really accurately, I want to see exactly where my stitching line should start. I want to see exactly where it should go and where it should stop. I will use one of those compressed chalk lead mechanical pencils. They're like a mechanical pencil, only it's chalk instead of graphite.
Yeah.
That way you get a little teeny tiny thin mark every single time. It shows you with extreme accuracy where to start, where to stop, where to go. You can get those at Joann's. You can get them online. There are several different brands, and they're all wonderful. Just remember, when you're marking, you don't have to see the marks from across the street. You just have to see the mark when you're sitting above your quilt working on it. So mark with a light hand because it's easier to get it off if you mark lightly.
And do you do the whole quilt or you just do a little section at a time?
That depends. If I need something to come together perfectly, again, using a border for an example, I wanted to turn the corner exactly like this, and I want it to flow out of the corner exactly like that, I will mark the whole thing when it's laid out flat on the table in front of me. When it comes to just marking blocks, I'll just mark them as I come to them on the quilt.
Kim, this has been fabulous. Will you come back in a few months and we'll talk some more machine quilting?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. You call me anytime.
Okay, I will. We've been talking to Kim Bruner, and you can visit her website, which is, let me give it to you, kimmyquilt.com. Come back next week to listen to the next American Patchwork and Quilting radio show. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.